The scripture this morning is Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be the holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promise of Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory.
Old Testament reading this morning is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 19. This is King David. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baalah, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. He called the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart. With the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark, David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with psalms and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted calf. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of a trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out at the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished the offering, the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. David had been installed as king. And former King Saul's back in the background, leading up to this, King Saul's frightening pursuit of David throughout the countryside was now finished. Saul was dead. Therefore, he could not hurt David anymore. Most of David's enemies were gone and had left the scene. David went from being a humble shepherd boy with God's help through the prophet Samuel, through all of that turmoil and struggle, to being king of the land. A united in Israel, a southern and northern kingdom together, all under his rule. And the city of Jerusalem became known as the City of David, named after him. And in the ultimate augmentation of power, the famous Ark of the Covenant was being moved to Jerusalem. And if you wonder, what does the Ark do? Watch the last 15 minutes of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you'll get to see a glimpse of power. At least the Hollywood version of that power. The Ark, bigger than that, bigger than any Hollywood scene, it meant divine favor and ultimate victory. Even if you were outnumbered and outmaneuvered, marching the Ark into battle dramatically changed the odds in your favor. It meant that you had the Lord on your side and victory would be yours. If you were listening to God, if you were following God's will as you carried that ark into battle. And more than that, just having the ark stationed nearby meant blessings to you and your family. It had been the case with Obed-Edom, the previous owner, and it would be the case for David and his rule, which lasted 40 years in Israel. Ecclesiastes 3, written supposedly, some people thought, by David's son Solomon. No one's really sure who wrote Ecclesiastes, but written years later, Ecclesiastes 3 would declare there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And with peace at hand and prosperity in his grasp, for David it was a time to dance. Dancing can sometimes touch emotions that other forms of expression can't. You know, singing touches emotions. Did you feel some emotion as you heard the music this morning, as you sang those songs, which I thought were very uplifting? Those are the songs of the soul, of the heart. But dancing sometimes can touch places that even the beautiful songs can't touch. In 2013, in honor of my mother-in-law, Lennis Hazen's 90th birthday, we threw a party for her at a local establishment. And her grandniece, Annie, who was a trained dancer, performed a really lovely dance routine in her honor. It wasn't, I would say, a show of great dance moves. It wasn't like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, just kind of impressing you with the moves. It wasn't bubbling with enthusiasm like Irish dancers, which I just love to see bouncing around and dancing. But as Annie moved, this freeform, totally made up on the spot dance routine for Lennis. I guess I couldn't call it a routine because it was never done before or since. It was just something that came from her heart and her soul. And it was an Annie's expression of love for her great aunt, Lennis. And it meant a lot. It touched places that probably somebody else dancing something else wouldn't have touched. So dancing can touch those places, maybe that other forms of expression miss. And in King David's time to dance, the text tells us that he brought the Ark of the Lord to the city of David with rejoicing. And the root word of rejoicing is joy. Predominant emotion he felt and others felt with him was joy. You don't know what joy is? Here's the best definition of joy that I've ever heard. Wait for it. Being in the center of God's will. Huh? Joy is being in the center of God's will? I'm sorry, I got to disagree with you on this one, Pastor. Joy is winning the lottery. Joy is having your team win the Super Bowl. Not that I know what that's like. What does joy have to do with God's will? Granted, it feels good to win. It feels good to prosper. After we've gone through a tough time, when you have been through something bad and suddenly you're out of it, the relief that you feel, you know, it's palpable. It's there. It's a good feeling. And as they say, and in this the case with David, it's good to be king. And so he was king. But, you know, all that stuff, all those bells and whistles, all those things that we think are going to make us happy don't succeed, don't fulfill our true purpose as human beings. Without God, even for David, it wouldn't mean a thing. All the trappings he had wouldn't mean anything. Winning for all its pleasures does nothing to address the spiritual hunger that humans possess inside. As Bruce Springsteen said, saying, poor men want to be rich. Rich men want to be king. And a king ain't satisfied until he rules everything. I would beg to differ with Mr. Springsteen. I don't think a king who rules everything is ever satisfied unless he is in the center of the Lord's will. Why do people keep wanting more when they get enough? Why isn't that never enough? And I think it's because they are spiritually hungry. All the successes in the world won't do a thing to deal with that God-shaped void designed inside each one of us. The empty space put there by our Creator is there in every human soul to remind us that we need God, even if we've got the world by a string. We can't be satisfied by anything short of God, and whatever successes we experience, we just can't know true joy without the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God. And David was king because this was God's will for his life. Make no mistake, he did not set himself up on a plan to become king. He didn't have a 5-year plan of going to the best schools and he's going to work hard, work out, and become rich and then make himself king. He didn't set out to do this. He was a shepherd boy doing what his dad told him to do when God sent the prophet Samuel out there to look for the next king because Saul had gone bad. Saul anointed David, and that's what took David from the fields of sheep to the throne of the king. It was God's will for his life, and that's what took him from rags to riches. And David wanted God desperately. Scriptures describe him as a man after God's own heart, and God found a welcome place indwelling in David's heart, as surely as the Ark of the Covenant was welcome in David's home and his city. And so, being in the center of God's will, which David was at this particular moment. Now, he wasn't always in the center of God's will. If you read the whole text later on, you know, he thought his faith was strong, but he wanted proof. You know, as Leonard Cohen wrote, he slipped away. He tried for something more and had to finally go back to the God that was his, that was in the center of his heart, that belonged there in the center. But once he had found that connection for this moment, then suddenly he knew joy. Joy is being in the center of God's will. David was who he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do. And there's nothing he could do with that joy except express it. And so he danced. Riches aren't necessary to have this. I'm a fan of a song written by, the words are written by Merle Travis and others. Wrote it for guitar legend Chet Atkins. And it's a variation on the song, the Benny Hill song, Yakety Sax. It's called Yakety Axe. And it describes an impoverished guitar player giving street performances for almost no money. You know, one day's chicken and the next day's feathers when I'm playing my Yakety Axe, he says. Money don't matter as long as I scatter a little bit of happiness around. If people keep a grinning, I figure I'm a winning with that good old yakety sound. So if you're in the mood and your feet start tapping and you feel laid back and your hands start clapping, then I'll have done what I wanted to from way back. I'm picking, you're digging my yakety axe. See, joy is coming from this person who has found his purpose in life. His purpose was not to be king. His purpose was not to be rich. His purpose was to get out there with his guitar and play it and bring joy to people and get their feet tapping and get their shoes stomping and get them moving. His purpose in life was to get that joy, which is being in the center of God's will, and then share it with everybody around him. He wasn't here to be rich, and he knows it. He was here to bring others joy. And King David had that joy, all that, and money too. There's no record of what David's dance looked like. I doubt it had a set of steps, like a foxtrot or a tango. Probably wasn't a line dance or a square dance. I imagine it more like Annie's dance before Lennis, a free-form dance, just expressing places from the heart that he knew he had, where he had joy. Because the Lord had entered the king's vacant soul, and he moved his limbs in celebration of the joy of being in the center, God's will. Where is your joy today? What does being in the center of God's will mean for you? Is it dependent on money? Is it really dependent on money? God knows you need enough to live. Is your money dependent on, or is your joy dependent on having things your way? God knows you need a certain degree of autonomy to function in this world. Is joy dependent on just having good relationships with others? The Lord knows we need friends. Or maybe something deeper than all those exterior trappings. Are you in need of having that void deep down in your soul filled by the love of God, who thought enough to send his son to die for your sins, to make reconciliation between you and your creator possible? Could God fill that void that's in your soul? You're too important to the world, and you're too important to God to give your soul over to anything less. If joy for you is being in the center of God's will, then you have reason to rejoice. Once you've found that, it's time to dance.